11. Gray Lizard Square, Sir Corin Garvey's townhouse, and Priory of St. Justin, City of Manchir, Princedom of Coruscant. A sharp, stabbing gesture brought Sir Corin Garvey's escort to an abrupt, clattering halt on the cobblestones. The anger in Garvey's overly controlled, clenched-fist hand signal was highly unusual. There were men in his escort who'd been with him at the Battle of Harold's Crossing and served with him throughout the Talbor Pass campaign. They'd seen him in the midst of battle, seen him visiting his wounded and comforting his dying, even seen him riding out to surrender his army to Caleb of Carus. They'd seen him angry, seen him worried, seen him grieving, seen him bitterly determined. They'd never seen him like this. The escort reined in its horses more like anxious children, creeping about in the shadow of a father's poorly understood anger, than like the elite picked troops they actually were. They looked around the buildings surrounding Grey Lizard Square, washed with early morning sunlight under a deep blue sky. The air was crisp and cool, warning of heat still to come, yet even more pleasant because its present coolness must be so fleeting. Windows, gay awnings, and the booths and kiosks of the Grey Lizard Market, normally one of the largest and busiest in the city, gleamed in the golden wash of the sun. Those booths and kiosks were empty, though. The people who should have crowded the square, bargaining and chaffering, stood hushed, crowded back around its edges, held there by grim-faced armsmen of the city guard. The stillness and silence of that crowd of people was profound, so absolute that the faint yet clear whistle of wyverns high overhead sounded almost shocking. Garvey dismounted. Yeoman Ulston, his personal armsman, swung down from the saddle beside him. But a chopping hand warned Ulston that even his presence was not welcome this day. He clearly didn't like it, but the dark-haired armsman had served the Garvey family since he was 15, and he'd been assigned to Sir Corin since the general had been a boy. He probably knew Sir Corin's moods better than any other living man, and so he simply accepted the order, took his master's reins, and stood watching as Garvey strode across to the red-stained white sheet.
"I'd not like to be the ones behind this."
Alston's thoughts were harsh with anger of his own.
"I've served the general and his father, man and boy, and I've never seen either of them like this. He'll find whoever did this, and when he does..."
Sir Corin Garvey walked across the cobbles like a man marching into battle, feeling the stillness around him, acutely aware of the contrast between the cool morning air and the white-hot fury roiling around inside him. He forced his face into a mask of calm, but that mask was a lie, for there was no calm in him.
"Slowly, Corin, slowly," he reminded himself. "Remember all those watching eyes. Remember you're a general, the Regency Council's personal representative, not just a man. Remember."
He reached the red-splotched sheet. A priest knelt beside it, a fair-haired man going to gray, with a full beard. He wore the green habit and caduceus of a brother of the Order of Pasquale, and his priest's cap bore the green cockade of an upper priest. The clergyman looked up as Garvey reached him, and the general saw the tears in the older man's gray eyes, yet the priest's expression was composed, almost serene.
"Father?"
Garvey knew his single-word greeting had come out harsher than he'd intended, and he tried to make his brief bow of greeting less curt. He rather doubted he'd succeeded.
"General?"
the priest returned. He reached out and laid one gentle hand on the sheet.
"I'm sorry you've been called here for this," he said.
"So am I, Father," Garvey inhaled deeply. "Forgive me," he said then. "I'm afraid I'm feeling just a bit angry this morning, but that's a poor excuse for discourtesy. You are..."
"Father Jaife Leitir,"
I'm the rector at Holy Archangels Triumphant.
The priest twitched his head at the stone spire of a church at the nearer end of the square, and his expression tightened.
I'm reasonably sure they left him here at least partly as a message to me, he said.
Garvey's eyes narrowed for a moment, but then he nodded in understanding as he recognized Letir's name. Sir Charles Doyle, who'd commanded his artillery at the beginning of the Talbor Pass campaign, was now his chief of staff. In addition, Doyle fulfilled the role of Garvey's chief intelligence analyst, and the words of his reports on the growing reformist movement here in Manchir replayed themselves in Garvey's memory.
Yes, the bastards who did this would want to make sure Letir gets the message, he thought. I'm afraid you're probably right about that, Father, he said out loud. On the other hand, I imagine they intended this as a message for all of us.
He bared his teeth for an instant.
And when we figure out who they are, I'm going to have a little message for them as well.